Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Elika Group Full Year 2023 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giulio Cocchi, CEO of Elika. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining our call. I will go quickly through the agenda. So we will comment the quarter four and the full year preliminary results, the industry trend, the dynamics that we see in our sales perimeters, and the economic and financial results of a very challenging year. After that, we will make some comments on how we see the short and mid-term of Elika in terms of priorities, in terms of opportunities, in terms of assets that we have been creating during this successful, in our perspective, three years, and that will represent the fundamental of our strategy in the incoming period. If we start from the results, so moving to slide number three, a difficult year of a very difficult couple of years from a demand perspective. Negative industry since the beginning of 2022, but moving double-digit since the second half of 2022, which we have responded defending our market shares, but for sure suffering from a sales perspective, a very high promotional activity and very low demand, and the indirect effect of high rates, slowdown in the real estate sectors, and reduced consumer purchasing power. For the motor division, in the second half of this year, after a growth that started since the acquisition of EMC in June 2021, the sector followed the same dynamics. So despite our division has been performing better than the market in the second part of the year, that growing contribution stopped to our revenues. In this environment, our net sales was 473 million, with a fall of 13% organically year-on-year. Our EBIT margin arrived to 5.1%, meaning that we have been able, despite a 13% sales, to reduce our EBIT margin loss to 0.9 percentage points. So a very important resilience from our company. EBITDA figures are more or less in line year-on-year. So our variable, our cost baseline is absolutely variable. We have been protecting our margin through a very efficient cost management and through the execution of all of those projects that we have been commenting during this period. So a more flexible production footprint in Europe, a complexity project for which we have strongly reduced the direct and indirect cost of our product offer without impacting the level of service to our customers, and also strong resizing from an OpEx and an organizational point of view. This focus on the cost, this capability to manage the financial resources allowed us to close the year with a net financial position of 41 million, with a leverage that remains fully under control and is still there to support the next year's strategic investments and the shareholders' return. If we move to slide number four, with a focus on quarter four, most of the dynamics that we saw on the revenue side remains the same. The good thing is that we see a sequential improvement versus the previous quarter, but also a positive signal from North America, from OEM perspective, but mostly from an own brand perspective, where the distribution actions that we have been implementing in the second part of the year are starting to deliver. EBIT margin was impacted by a promotional environment that was even stronger with a very low product mix and very high price competition. At the same time, going back to the net financial position, we did a strong inventory reduction, reducing in 3 months of almost 20 million, so basically the 20%, the value of our inventories versus the previous quarter.
Good afternoon to everybody. Going forward to the section of industry trend. Line number 6. This is the scenario for the market sellout related to the European market. Scenario doesn't change. The quarter 4 was -7%. That is compared, it seems that there is a slight improvement versus the last quarter. Q3 was -10. But it's also true that the -7 is compared to the quarter 4 2022 that was very strong negative, double digit negative, -12%. Overall, full year market sell-in, it's an estimation of -9%. So, two consecutive years of negative demand. 2022 was -8%, 2023 -9%. If you go forward to the line number 7, here you have the trend of the market sellout of the last 10 years. The source is GSK and is only related to the European market, excluding the Russia market. As you can see, in the full year 2023, we came back in terms of units to the same size of the 2015. The last 2 years with a negative impact has neutralized the growth that we saw in 2021 and also in the previous year. And also, if you go to slide number 8, you can see how much is the pressure on promotional activity. Here you have the trend of the recommended retail price for food and aspiration hops. Both of them are negative. If you go to the aspiration hops, since the 2022, the recommended retail price started to have an erosion price, but in the last quarter there is an acceleration of this trend, and this drives the negative price mix of the market. Going forward to slide number 9, here you have the estimation of the sell-in for market related to North America. The source are the data that we are gathering from AHAM. And also in this case, the scenario doesn't change. It's still double-digit negative demand. Overall, the full year 2023 is -21. Moving now to the other division for motors. We are already sharing during the last quarter that starting from the Q2, the demand for the heating segment a fall down of the demand, and the Q3 and Q4 is the same scenario, still negative versus the Q1 for double digit percentage. And this is due to the uncertainty of regulation, the stop of incentive, and also a stop measure reaction from the heating segment. Going now to the sales dynamic for Elica Group. Line number 12. Overall, we already saw the Q4 was -12.7 versus last year, with a slight improvement versus the last quarter. Q3 versus Q3 of 2022 was -18, and the current quarter is -12. So we see a slight improvement quarter on quarter. And this is driven by what we will see also later on, from the performance of the American region that came positive, and also the UM business that finally, after several consecutive quarters, finally is positive compared to the previous one. Overall, full year -75 million versus the last year, with a fall down of 15.7%. Going through the dynamics in terms of regional, slide number 13, the quarter four, finally, as I anticipated, we saw in America positive versus the last quarter, organic +9.6%. And this is due partially for the UM customer, so the new activation, new customer, new project, but also thanks to the contribution of our brand for the direct control of some channel distribution and the activation of the two new distributors, one for the Southeast appliances, the SEA, that is a company that we created in partnership with Ilve, and also the acquisition of our former distributor for Canada. Moving to slide number 14, here we have the performance between the two divisions, motor and cooking. Q4 motor -22% versus last year, improved versus last quarter because the Q3 was the worst quarter for motor because it was -30%. So there is an improvement. For cooking, -7%, sorry, that is aligned with the market trend. Overall, full year, if we move to the part for the full year, motor division is -14.6%. So in percentage, better than the market because we saw that the market for the heating in the last three quarters was -13%. So this is thanks to the fact that we gained market share to the traditional customer for the heating segment, and also thanks to the fact that we gained new customers for the heating segment. Cooking overall, -12% versus last year. In terms of performance between brands for the cooking division, as anticipated, in Q4, we finally saw the UM business that, after several negative quarters, changed the sign, so +2.8% versus last year. For the own brand, the comparison versus the last year is a fall down of 13.1%, so worse than the last quarter, but it is explained by the fact that the last quarter, the Q4 of 2022, was the best performer for our brand because there was the recovery of the backlog of some products like aspiration hobs. So if we compare the performance of our brand for this quarter to the previous quarter, there is an improving of 6%. Moving to the financial part and the P&L, full year with 473 million of net sales, so minus the part drop of the sales for 75 million, we were able to defend our margin. In terms of EBITDA margin, it's the same, 10.2% versus the last year, it's the same, thanks to the ability of reaction, flexibility of our footprint, the activity done on cost takeout, give us the possibility to offset partially the loss of the turnover and the margin. In terms of EBIT margin, we arrived to reach 5.1%. We are below 90 basis points versus the last year. But in terms of group net profit, we have a result of 10 million of group net profit. So compared to the 2018, where we have the same turnover of the current year, we have completely different group net profit because in that year, in 2018, the group net profit was negative despite this year is positive. Moving to slide number 18, this is a confirmation that our ability and our speed up to execute the over-execution, because what happened, considering the trend of the demand and considering the trend of the turnover, we put in place a strong stock inventory reduction. In Q4, we were able to reduce versus the Q3 20 million inventory. We moved for 110 million of stock inventory in September, in the last Q3, and we closed the year with 91 million of inventory. And the same we did also for the CAPEX. So the level of CAPEX for the 2023 is 16 million, equal to 3.4% on net sales. And without compromise any kind of project useful for our growth. With this CAPEX, we support the development of our heat pump assembly line, the aspiration hubs assembly line for Mexico, the hubs, industrial hubs assembly line for Poland. So, without penalize any kind of project that will be useful for our growth for the next year. And if we compare also what's happening in the trend compared to the previous year, you can see that in 2016 and 2018, with the same level of turnover, we had a completely picture of CAPEX, the double of the CAPEX respect to the current year. And this is what useful also to reach our closing in terms of net financial position, a net financial position of 41 million with a level under control. We improved the rest of the last quarter because the last quarter was 47. So despite a tough Q4, we were able to improve our net financial position. And despite also around 60 million of cash out related to the last tranche for the European manufacturing footprint relocation, the last tranche for the M&A acquisition for motor division, the investment on ourselves with the buyback, and the pay and the remuneration of our shareholders. I leave the stage to Giulio for the closing remarks.
Okay. So, let's talk about the future, but starting commenting very, very briefly the past. The last 3 years, despite on the right side of the slide number 21, you see all the things that happened, so geopolitical tension, monetary policies, inventory problem, delivery problem, saturated market, all the things that you know as we do. Our plan was a profitability-focused plan. The complexity, European footprint relocation, resizing, reestablish the profitability in China, but also some specific action on the working capital management that allow us also to defend our net financial position. The focus was to give Elica that profitability lever that this company didn't have in the past. The market went strongly negative, but this allowed us to defend what we have been creating in the time. If you move to slide 22, we will spend 3 seconds in this slide, because Stefania has already anticipated it. The results of the 3 years are margins that this company did never see in the past. Moreover, what we delivered was a company that, with 470 million euros net sales, creates a profit that allowed the company to invest on the company itself and to give a proper remuneration to the shareholder. 5 years before, with the same level of revenues, this company was losing money. Now, the big achievement of these 3 years has been, in our perspective, also all of the weapons that we have created that will be the baseline of the development of the company. We have an enlarged product offer entering new segments. We will be launching Love using Euro Cucina, but also a new complete cooking range that we have, I would say, softly started to distribute during 2023 because it was too early, because the market was strongly negative, because we were building a brand strategy, you know, behind the specific products. We are ready because we have invested, tested, and we have the homologation to produce ventilation systems for its pumps since December last year. So this year, in the second part of the year, we will start entering a business where we see only opportunities. Same for what concerns H2O, hydrogen, no? Same, because if we know that the real opportunity will be, let's say, not before 2025, this is already creating a value proposition from our side that is allowing us to grow inside new customers and old customers where we didn't have the majority of the shares. We have invested intelligently in widening our distribution network in North America, where we see a big opportunity thanks to our presence in Mexico, thanks to the fact that we are the only one producer of induction, aspiration, but also cooking induction in North America. We have created a distribution company together with ILTE in Florida that serves the southeast part of the U.S. We have acquired a small distributor in Canada because, again, we see the opportunity and we want to put the foot on the ground, so to be among the priorities of our distribution in North America. Same for what concerns EMC, but you know the story very well. We have deployed and we are ready to shout a communication and brand strategy that will be the leitmotiv of the next, let's say, 2 to 3 years, that will change the perspective of Elica, less, let's say, ventilation, becoming more and more cooking, distinctive cooking, not luxury, not cheap, but distinctive. This is a big investment. This is a big step forward in our company that will be deployed at its best using the Euro Cucina, the Salone del Mobile, but that for us represents really the key point of our cooking strategy in the next year. If you move to slide 24, the sponsorship with Ducati Corse goes exactly in this direction. Ducati is Italian. Ducati is also a bit German that, you know, talking about appliances is always something precious. Ducati's design is beautiful, its performance, but it's also a company with the solid roots to the place where it belongs. It is exactly the message that we want to pass to our customers, to the millions of opportunities that we will have communicating together with Ducati around the world. No, it's an important investment. It's an investment also in the logic, in the strategy that this company never did, but that for us represents, let's say, the first step of a period in which our focus will be supporting our growth, supporting our brand, supporting our products, supporting our sales, supporting our customers, because this is the only way that we know to grow. If you move to the following slide, this is a first snapshot because it's very difficult to make forecasts at this stage of the year and after 2 years in which everything happened, we said it already, of 2004. We see a demand that will be for sure negative in H1 for two main reasons. The scenario didn't change so far. And also, especially for what concerns the motor division, we have to wait till June to have a normalization of the market, because there will be a carryover of what started to happen in the second part of 2023. H2, we remain neutral. what is happening to the interest rate, what may happen to the economy, may bring to a normalization of the market. No, so this is the scenario that we are taking into consideration to understand how to move. Price mix, this is sure, will be negative. You see that the goods volumes sold in 2023 are the same of 2015. So in this moment, there is a kind of food fight. Now you see the major players of the sector that are destroying some prices that were considered very high range up to the end of 2022. Here we have three actions. The first one is to respond for some product lines because we don't want to lose market share in this moment. The second one is to act through product modification. So create, and we are doing it, new range, especially in the aspiration ops, with less specification that allow us to be more competitive without losing our margins in the very low end of the segment. The third action is the communication. It's becoming a brand. It's becoming Elica Cooking. That means being different. Otherwise, what matters is the price. Inflation, we see a positive combination between labor cost inflation that, as you know, is hitting hard in those geographies where we have the majority of our production, meaning Poland for Europe and Mexico for North America. But on the other side, we see opportunities from a raw material and component perspective. So the balance of the two will bring savings to the company. What we will be carrying on during all the year will be strategic investment to support our growth, to support our cooking transformation, to increase the awareness on the Elica brand, to increase the sales support, also to serve, launch, explain our new products. Love is a beautiful product. We will sell it at 6,000 euros, but it needs to be explained. It needs to be shown on the display. It needs to be understood by our customers, like the kitchen makers, before they sell the product to the final customers. Because you don't buy 6,000 euro product on internet. You need to see it, you need to touch it, you need to trust it. So this will be, again, a year in which we will create the awareness, the confidence, the trust over the brand that will allow us in the second part of the year to see the beneficial effect of the new products that we are putting on the market, and from that on, from that moment on, to grow thanks to new products. Also, hopefully, counting on a market that starts back to show positive signals. So, just to close this part, slide number 26 is the summary of what I've just been anticipating. Our priorities are defend and then grow market shares on cooking. It's the phase-in, because this is key of our new complete product range, is to deploy our new brand strategy, and also because we are winning bids to phase in, and this will happen and will be visible in the second part of the year, new OEM customers. Motor priorities are clear. Motor has a time to market that is three times the time to market of the cooking appliances. So here we know that we are ready to start with the pumps. We know that we gained market share during last year, and we will see the benefits this year, even in a stagnating market. We know the opportunity that hydrogen is delivering us. We are very good in managing costs, so we will continue to focus on efficiencies, but again, without compromising this long-term growth investment, because this is the future of Elica. We imagine our net financial position to be fully under control, to support where there is a possibility to make the cooking, I would say, more hours. Keeping the focus, maintaining coherence with what we said, what we committed on granting our shareholders a yearly return. Thank you.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask you to use the handset when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Emanuele Negri with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for the presentation and for taking my question. I have a couple of questions on the outlook and then another one on the fourth quarter results. The first on the outlook, you said that demand and price mix will be negative in the first half, while demand should be neutral in the second half and negative in price mix. However, when you look at fourth quarter results, they were positive plus 7% quarter on quarter. How can you explain this? I mean, you have a growth in the last quarter and then you expect decline in the quarter ahead. The second one is on the business unit for the outlook. It's fair to assume that probably in the second half, the cooking will be positive year on year after a kind of challenging first half. And then the last one is on profitability for the last quarter of this year. You observed a negative profitability trend in the last quarter on quarter, while revenues were up. What happened on profitability to have this decline? Thanks.
Oh, thanks for your question. So demand, we have a visibility on the first quarter, no? For which we see that demand is still struggling. The fall didn't stop yet, no? And we imagine for the first half of the year, this is we are forecasting also to understand better how to manage our numbers, a demand that will not show any positive signs. We imagine at the same time that the second half of the year will be in line with last year because, how can I say, it is difficult to imagine the demand going worse. This for cooking, but at the same time also for motors. Now we have seen starting back from motors, a quarter three that was dramatic, minus 30, but there was a big part of the stocking in that figure. A quarter four that was in the region of minus 25, if I'm not wrong, 23. Now we see a quarter one, which is in the region of minus 20. So it's not a trend, and in any case, it won't be, I wouldn't be happy with that. But we imagine a normalization where at least the carryover of last year ends up when the mess started in 2020. No, so second half flat. Second half in which we will see year on year the beneficial effect of starting the production and the commercialization of a ventilation system for heat pumps and also the effect of the market shares that we have been gaining during 2023 that allowed us to let's say, to fall less than the reference market. For cooking, dynamics are similar but are mainly driven from price mix. So we are talking more about value than price. As Stefania showed, there is a strong competition which we need to respond on the other side, and this will go on through all of the year. What we see instead growing our revenues in the second part of the year comparing to this year is the effect of new products, is the full effect of the distribution strategy that we have implemented in North America, is the effect of the new OEM that we have been acquiring during 2023 and that will start and that we will start to phasing products in the second part of 2024. So the sum of this will allow us on a near base to have, I would say, a flattish revenue year on year, but with a growing second part of the year. Your second question, or third question was on the quarter four margin. I would say the key driver of quarter four margin has been pricing. No, the pricing has been even more aggressive than in the first part of the year, and also especially comparing the quarter four performance 23 with the same period of 22, the sales of aspiration ops were strongly impacted by the fact that in 2022, in the second part of the year, we were closing a lot of backlog coming from the problems in electronic delivery in the first, say, in the central part of the year. So the comparison year on year is for sure affected by the fact that the aspiration of mix at the end of 2022 was a lot stronger. Also, always talking about aspiration ops, by the fact that to defend our share, especially from a very aggressive pricing from, I would say, some big names in the appliances sector, of course, we had to respond.
Thanks.
The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is actually in terms of your previous comments on potential, I mean, very volatile, but potential guidance in terms of top line for 2024 is, if I understood correctly, basically we are basically expecting for the year flattish cooking business that is roughly 75-76%. More than 70% of, close to 80% of total sales, while motors probably still on a year basis down. Just if you can elaborate these. And secondly, if you could explain, so you correctly said that the change in demand has not changed over the last 3 months, but it seems to me that the competitive environment seems a little bit worse. So just if you can elaborate on this. And finally, on the U.S., that you executed very, very well in the fourth quarter with the plus 9.6%, if you could, split between the impact of new customers and new distributors, just to have an idea. And finally, if you could have a view on CapEx for the next year. Thank you. Next year, I mean 2024.
Thank you, Alessandro. So, revenue guidance, I was probably not clear. You know, we imagine an overall flattish revenues, you know, made of a growth in the second part of the year in the cooking division and a moderate division where there are two main phenomena. You know, the first part of the year, we will carry over the negative side of the market that we experience starting from quarter three 2023. No? In the second part of the year, we will instead focus the new products and market shares. No? So growing, starting a growth because the potential is usually more in the pump sector and also the market share that we got into Ariston, into Violant, into Riello, so into many customers that we have been approaching and that we started to work together. So, model division will, we imagine a small drop at the end of the year, year on year, in the region of, I would say, 4 to 5%, recovered by a growth in cooking more or less in the same region. Overall, flat revenues year on year. For what instead concern the competitive environment, it's, as we mentioned before, from a side, let's say the macroeconomical factors are affecting the demand, no? And that's a fact. On the other side, mainly in Europe, because we will discuss in a different way in America, because that is an issue in the short, a huge opportunity in the midterm. No, mainly in Europe, there is a food fight, probably I mentioned before. So, Electrolux, mainly is especially on the aspiration of segment being very, very much aggressive, especially in some countries like France or Italy, no? Where a big part of our revenues are made. Being aggressive means that from a side they are getting market shares, on the other side, an average price of 2,500 euros at the beginning of 2022 is now in the region of 2,000, no? Brutally. So, a lot. How are we reacting? We are reacting through promo, through repositioning our products where we see that the promotion is working, so the right price is the new one and not the old one. We are reacting to projects, so creating some less specificated products that cost less to us that we can sell to a lower price to our customers defending our margin. No, this is the so-called Nikola Tesla Alpha or Nikola Tesla Zero. No, so a line that is, let's say, attacking the low side of the segment where from a side some, let's say, respectful, famous names is entering through price, but there are also Beko, for example, that is entering through specs, through low specificated products made in Turkey with a very aggressive price. So the mentality is the how can I say, the big retail mentality. So 999 instead of 1,000, just to be clear. This is for sure a focus. This is the main reason why we estimate a year in which the pricing will be strongly under pressure. Different discussion for what concerns the United States. Of course, just to close this point on Europe, what you need to be more defended, no? Otherwise, it becomes a pure price fight, so somebody will die at the end, no? And we see that this pricing policy is draining resources from some of our competitors, listed on the stock exchange like we are, so with visible numbers. There are two things. The first one is the brand identity. So it's not making the battle not only on price, but also on the unicity of the brand. The second is playing with product mix. That means cooking, that means oven, that means not being only the leader in aspiration, but having a full cooking range allow us to push up the mix, to defend our share, and also to be more aggressive without losing too much margin in our offers. Because one thing is to play with five appliances and say, if you buy five, I give you one for free, and one thing is to play with one appliances. I cannot give you that one for free. No. So in this perspective, the investment of cooking and the investment of promoting our cooking range in a future perspective, in a mid-term perspective, in a 3-year perspective, is key. Going back to the U.S., different dynamics. No? Here, we see big opportunities in our distribution because our two companies, as well as the distributors that we are already working with, do not only sell Elica, that is a premium brand in the U.S., but is only focused on aspiration. They sell Elica, Ilve, and some other products. So a full range that is attractive for their own customers, which are the kitchen shops. Okay? So that is working. And being those two companies, let's say, owned by Elica and Ilve, the priority is Elica and Ilve. So we know that the first thing that they will try to say is our products. The evidence is that in a negative market, basically our performance year on year is flat. So the plan is working. The second opportunity that in the short term is an issue is the fact that our OEM customers are becoming weak in the, I would say, the belly of the market, in the medium range cookerwoods they sell with their own brand produced by Erika in Mexico in the big distribution, Beyond Depot, Lowe's, so the big guys of the U.S. distributors. Their place in the segment is being taken by unbranded products, so products bought in China, branded Ancona in some cases, and sold jumping one set of margin. This, in the short term, is putting their revenues and consequently our volumes under pressure, but is giving us the opportunity to go directly with these customers. No? It was a winning project, the one we handled with Beyond Depot, no? And it's the basic reason why OEM North America in the last part of the year is growing. But now the idea, the plan, because we already hired a salesman, and we are starting to discuss the product specification with them, is to enter with Arietta, which is a brand that we had in U.S. and that we never used, but that would be our brand to enter directly in the big distribution, so jumping a step of margin but maintaining our competitiveness and margin without affecting Whirlpool strategy or our customer strategy, because they have already left, I would say, that part of the market. So we take back those volumes going directly. This is a project, this is an opportunity that we start to deliver revenues not before 2025, of course, because this will be the year of implementation.
Thank you. And about CapEx.
Yeah. About CapEx for the next year, we keep the same level of the current year, and around 17 million, so with our ratio that is 3.5% versus turnover. And as Giulio said, part of our CapEx is dedicated to the project that just Giulio said, so to counterattack from channel where the UM is losing market share. And all of the CapEx will be addressed to our project growth. So same level of the CapEx of the current year, and leave space to invest in communication, in marketing, in our brand strategy, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro.
The next question is from Carlo Maritano with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just have one question. It's a clarification on the profitability outlook, given that there are a lot of moving parts. So you will have a negative price mix and increasing effort in communication, while on the other side, you will have a benefit from decreasing raw material. So I was wondering if you think that to maintain the profitability of this year could be possible, or if you expect a slight erosion in 2024.
So, organically, I'll go straight on this. Organically, in 3 years' time, we see the opportunity to go, I would say, commodamente, without any problem, above the 500 million euros revenues with a margin in line, if not better than the one we delivered in the last 2 years. 2024 will be a year of investment. No? So the focus will be getting the things done in order to grow, starting from the second part, but mainly between 2025 and 2026. So we do not expect to keep the same margin of 2024. On the other side, just to be absolutely transparent, no, the perspective is the one of the entrepreneur, meaning that 2024 is the year in which we will exit. No, it's a contract and it's official. So our Indian joint venture, well, we still sit with a 6.8% share. This will deliver us the part of the resources that will allow us from, a bottom line of our profit and loss, enough resources to defend our net profit, and to defend our finances, of course. Now, so having the resources, this is the year in which I don't have to watch only to the operating margin line, even if I lose my bonus, okay? I need to see all the resources that, without impacting to my shareholders, I can invest in order to start defending my growth strategy. Now, and this I will be doing. Then, if in the second part of the year, for the interest rates, for the real estate market, for a bit of luck that sometimes helps, the market start back to grow, of course, I will have more resources, let's say, to defend my margin compared to the previous year. But I would say that now the priority is back on the mid-term. It's 2025 and 2026, where I know where I have to get, and I know, like it was for the old plan, that was a plan based on projects, what I have to do to arrive there, from a product perspective, from a brand perspective, from an implementation also of a sales strategy and a sales approach perspective, what I have to do, and unfortunately, also how much it costs.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Emanuele Negri with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry, just a quick follow-up. On the net financial expenses, they grew from 1.5 million to 6.4 million this year. In the press release, you mentioned that the main reason is from Forex. Can you please split the net financial expenses between Forex and, let's say, pure net financial expenses? Thanks.
Thank you, Emanuele. Yes, relating to the current year for the 6.4 million of net financial expenses, 0.7 million are relating to the Forex. But compared with versus the last year, there is a gap, a loss of 2 million, because the last year we have a benefit effect from the ruble. So considering that the 0.7 million are related to the Forex, the remaining parts are related to the financial items related to the, you know, that in terms of financial costs, our debt of 18 million are related for 20% of short-term loan, with an impact for the full year around 1 million. And the 80% of our debt are related to mid-term debt, mainly related to the club deal. And then that is covered with a fixed rate of 1.2%. But the overall, the cost for the mid-term, so this is that it's around 3 million. So 3 million for the mid-term loan, 1 million for the short-term loan, and the rest is mainly related to the FX effect. That's it.
Mr. Cocci, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you. So thanks a lot for joining our call. Just as an anticipation, we are present, we will be present at Rufina, Salone del Mobile, and we will also organize, again, investing on ourselves, investing on our brand, a Fuori Salone. We will get the opportunity, like we did in 2022, to organize also a strategy update at the beginning of the fair. So in the next weeks, we will start to plan the event and send the relevant information and invitation. Until that, thanks, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.